taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We'll read together the first 21 verses, and we'll be focusing mainly on verse 17 and especially verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully in how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Before we begin, let's ask God to bless his word. Oh Lord, once again we come before you now, and as we begin to look at this portion of your word, and oh Lord, what it means to give you true and humble thanksgiving, we thank you, O Lord, that you give us your word, that you've kept it, preserved it, in spite of the attempts of the wicked to destroy your word, yet, O Lord, you have it, and we still have it, and we hear it, and we receive its instruction, and O Lord, we even hear your voice speaking to us through it. And now, O Lord, as we look at this particular passage, we pray, O Lord, blessing rest upon it. O Lord, the words would be clear to us, and that it would affect us in how we live and how we think, and that, O Lord, in all these things, we would have in mind your honor and glory. Be with us, we pray, and bless us for good, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I would like to look with you on the biblical topic of thanksgiving, and particularly thanksgiving to God. You'll have to bear with me a little bit. I'm not quite as prepared as I would like to be for this, but we'll do the best we can. And it's an important topic in the Bible. It's mentioned at least 140 times, the topic of being thankful to God. So that shows us that it's not a minor point with God, but that it's very important. As a matter of fact, it's absolutely necessary for the practice of godliness. So we'll be looking, as I said, at particularly verse 17 and 20. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I'd like to do is begin by looking at the character of what true thankfulness to God is. One commentator said there are three possible responses to being thankful to God. The first one, just plainly, that it's not even necessary. The second one is that the response of the hypocrite. And the third one is to truly thank the Lord for what he gives us. So the first one then is that it's not even necessary. He thinks that I deserve everything I get, and probably more. I'm probably not even getting everything I deserve, but we think of the parable, as an example of that, the parable of the rich farmer. In Luke 12, we read, he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? This man, this farmer, this one who had this abundant crop, has made two major errors in his thinking and in his acting. The first one is that he is ungrateful in his prosperity. He'd been blessed with an abundance, more than he could even imagine. He had so much he didn't even know what to do with it, and yet he still was not thankful. And the second thing he does is to presume on the future. He thinks that he can now live off of this abundance for a good long time. But he failed to take God into his consideration. God gave him everything he had, and God could take away everything he had. So therefore, God calls him a fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Those who do not feel the need to thank are worse than an infidel. Because their feeling is based in unbelief. The second attitude that was mentioned was the thanksgiving of the hypocrite. And if you look to the parable Jesus told about the Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray, he said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes all that I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. This Pharisee's attitude was that he was thankful to himself for himself. Very hypocritically, he uses God's name to praise himself. He was not really thanking God. He's just thanking that he's just thankful that he's not like other people are. And like the rest of his hypocritical life, this thanksgiving is a pretense and a sham. The third attitude about thanksgiving is that of the truly thankful person. We read of the miracle that Jesus did when he was on his way to Jerusalem. He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, And as he entered a village, he was met by lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. But he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." There were 10 who were healed, and yet there was only one who returned to give thanks to God. And he was a Samaritan. Now, if you know the dealings between the Samaritans and the Jews, they really didn't want anything to do with each other if they could possibly help it. So then it's even more special that it was he who came back and who bowed before Jesus and thanked him and praised him. His thanksgiving, in essence, was an expression of his trust in Jesus. He felt himself to be helpless, and he found all his need met in Christ Jesus. That is the only true thanksgiving that pleases God. This is the thanksgiving that Paul in Ephesians is talking about. And we recognize that we are when we're totally dependent on him, that is when we can give him true thanksgiving. But when are we to thank him? According to our verse, always and at all times. Not just when things are going well. At all times and in all circumstances. Not only when there are no battles or before battles, but also in the middle of battles. And it's not always easy. Because just like that there were 3 attitudes towards thanksgiving, there are also 3 levels or degrees of difficulty in thanking God. The first one, which is the easiest, is to thank God when we are blessed. When we have something, when we've received something, when we've done something, and we are truly thankful, and we thank him for it. And that's right, and that's good. It's proper that we should do that. But it's not difficult to be thankful when you've received good things. We read that that's what Moses and the people of Israel did when they were delivered by God. It was even repeated in the book of Revelation. It's relatively easy, and it doesn't require a high degree of faith to do it. The second level, or degree of difficulty, is to be grateful in the hope of blessings. In other words, to be thankful for something that we haven't even received yet. But God has promised it, and we are sure that it will happen, and therefore we can thank him for it. And this is where the exercise of faith and hope really begin, because it involves things in our lives that we have not seen or experienced. Think of Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. He said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of people standing around that they might believe that you sent me." He knew that his father heard and had answered his prayer. He thanked him in advance for what he knew was going to be done. Thanksgiving to God for the good that we know he will do. We look forward to different things in our life. It can be perhaps the death of a loved one that is anticipated. We know that there's a glorious resurrection that awaits. So therefore, we can be thankful for even that time of separation. There's another interesting example in 2 Chronicles 20. Judah was facing an attack by a combination of 3 different armies. It was overwhelmingly looking like they were going to be defeated. So the king called a fast and they humbled themselves before God and they offered their prayer to God. They made their petition and God responded, sending his prophet and telling them that they would not be attacked by this army, that they wouldn't even have to fight this army, that the battle would be from him. All they had to do was go out the next day, stand and watch God's deliverance. And they believed God, and they believed him to the point where they not only went out, but they went out with praises and thanksgiving. They set up choirs to sing, and they went, and they watched, and they saw God do as he has promised. He delivered them. It says, when they had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. The third and most difficult situation to be in to give thanks is to not only when there is no battle or before battle, but particularly during a battle, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a difficult time, and things don't seem to be going well for you. Even then, we are called on to give God thanks. If you think of Daniel, when he was forbidden to worship any god but the king, yet still, he, knowing full well what was happening, he went to his room, he got down on his knees, and he prayed 3 times a day. He prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. He thanked God because God deserves thanksgiving in all circumstances. One person who you might not even think of when you try to think of these examples is Jonah. Jonah, in one of his prayers, thanked God. And do you know where he was when he offered that prayer of thanksgiving? He was still in the belly of the fish. He said, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So not only always, but for all things. When we realize that all that we have comes from him, we will thank him for all things. It is his will for us that we thank him. He wants his children to be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A spirit-filled believer can see God's hand in all circumstances in his life. He knows that God works all things together for his good. He gives thanks for work, even though it may be difficult. It may be a trial. He gives thanks for health, even though it may not be what he would like it to be. Job even gave thanks in the death of his loved ones. So where does the road to this true thanksgiving begin then? It begins with humility. When we realize that we don't deserve anything, we will be thankful for everything. Pride tells us we aren't getting what we deserve. Pride was at the root of the first sins right from the very beginning. It caused Satan to rebel. Adam and Eve were led to believe that they weren't getting what they deserved. They should have more. They could even be like God. Even today, we are still tempted by pride. We need to be filled by the Spirit in order to be truly humble. As we look to Christ Jesus, we see that in his self-love, he emptied himself of all. So the question then arises, who do we thank? Well, if you look to our Bible passage once again, we see that we are to thank God the Father. James says that every good gift comes down from the Father. Paul says, it is God the Father who blesses us with all spiritual blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Were it not for Christ and our union to him, we could expect no blessing at all. So what then is the spiritual prerequisite for thankfulness? How is it possible to always be thankful? What is needed? Well, very essentially, what is needed is a new heart, because it's not possible to truly thank God if you don't have a new heart. The old man is ungrateful, proud, bitter, and he cannot rightly thank God because he opposes God. True thanksgiving begins with a new heart. You must have a sense of God. You must realize that he actually is, and that he is the author of all that you receive, whether it's good or bad. You must believe that he is always hearing you, and that's why you can always be thankful. He always hears what you have to say to him. You must have a sense of being forgiven. You cannot truly thank God until you know that your sins are forgiven. And you cannot come to God unless you come to him through the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to give thanks in his name. We should set him before us as an example. We should submit ourselves to do his will. Not my will, but your will should be our attitude. We must humble ourselves before God, even as Jesus humbled himself before his Father. Jesus was despised, rejected, humiliated, beaten, and finally crucified. Yet he gave thanks in all things. He deserved glory, love, honor, praise, holiness, and the list goes on. Yet, he was made sin. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself by being obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Because he humbled himself of all things, even of his own life, he is able to bless us with all the things that he emptied himself of, including life, with a truly thankful spirit. True thanksgiving can only come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why is thanksgiving important? In the first place, it honors God. Psalm 50, verse 20. Says, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." Another thing that I read was, and it kind of struck me, because I hadn't thought of that before, was the author said, "Giving thanks in all things will help to keep us from sin." Now, if you think about that for a second, if you're going to be thankful if you need to be thankful for everything that you do, it will affect the places that you go. It will affect the things that you do, the things that you speak. It would be blasphemy to go to a place where you know that you shouldn't be, where God would not be glorified, and to give thanks for it. And yet you're required to give thanks in all things. So therefore, you need to avoid such places. When we remember the mercies we thanked him for, it will also help us to trust him for the mercies that we still need. In other words, it will help increase our faith. When we see, both from his word and from our own lives, our own experience, how God has dealt with us, that we will learn to trust him more and more. And as we trust him more and more, we will be thankful to him more and more. The more we have of this thankful spirit, the more useful we will certainly become. It will incite us to do countless deeds of love. When you have been blessed, you will want to help others. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, our Father, we come before you, and indeed we give you thanksgiving. You have richly blessed us with all the things that we need but have not deserved. And we pray, O Lord, that you would receive our thanksgiving in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who made it possible for us to both receive these good things and to thank you rightly. We pray that you would continue to bless us and that we would, in the days to come, think on our need to thank you more. For even in that, O Lord, we acknowledge that we have failed. In too many times and on too many occasions, O Lord, we have not thanked you as we ought. But we pray that we may learn to live a life of humility, a life of gratitude, and that we may walk humbly before you. Be with us, we pray, therefore. Bless us for good. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen.